After Easter, it's easy to forget Christmas. It's easy to forget that Jesus was born in a barn, not a church. And whatever else that may mean, it tells us that the God of the Incarnation is as much in the mundane as He is in the sacred. And this is important for us to understand as we try to understand communion. The Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper invokes the body of Christ, not just in the bread, but in the gathering of the church around a table of food and drink. Like Jesus' birth, the Lord's Supper is meant to bring the divine into the concrete everyday life. Here, among its other things, communion is designed to be a family meal. It's a community celebration. It's a place like our kitchen tables, our dining rooms, our living rooms and dens. It's a place where we come together to be with each other and to share ordinary life. To celebrate special events with each other, to console and cry with each other when life is full of heartaches, and to be together simply for the sake of being together. Early in the Bible, we're told that that God said it's not good for the man to be alone. He wasn't just talking about Adam. He was talking about every man, every woman, every child, every creature forever. No person is an island, not even a molecule, not even an atom. Everything in our universe is meant to be in relationship. And communion honors that, even by its name. When Jesus gave us this meal, He intended it to be a ritual that invites us to come together as family in every circumstance in our life. In faith, just as in nature, we're meant to come together with others when we're happy and when we're sad. When the occasion is festive and when the occasion is mundane, when we celebrate new life and when we bury loved ones. When we give ourselves to each other in marriage and when we need reconciliation, when our energy is high and when our energy is low, when we feel the need for each other and when we want distance from others, and when we have no other reason to want to be together other than the fact that nature invites us to be together. Communion invites us to gather as family. And the very essence of family life is sharing with others both the special and the ordinary moments of life. We gather together as family to celebrate occasions, birthdays and weddings and graduations, transitions. And we gather together around illnesses and funerals. And at these times, maybe the atmosphere is more charged, the energy is higher, and there's a clearer sense that this is an occasion that merits us coming together. But families sustain themselves by gathering together regularly, maybe daily even, irrespective of whether there's a special reason or a special occasion to do so. They don't just gather when the food is good, but when it's just regular food, right? They don't just gather when the energy is high, but when it's bad, when everybody is not at their best. Families come together regularly, routinely, despite tedium and boredom and low energy and busyness and distractions and even the interpersonal tensions that characterize family life as well. They come together because they recognize that family life is as much about sharing the mundane, the normal, the regular, the distracted, the sports scores, the tensions of life. It's about every bit as much that stuff as it is the special and joyous moments. So the weekday meal that can be no more special than hot dogs and beans, you know, wolfed down in 20 minutes and the conversation goes no deeper than what's going on in the world of sports or something like that. You know, it may not be exactly the same stuff as the fare at Christmas dinner or conversation that takes place at a wedding or a funeral. But these conversations, these mundane times, are every bit as important in creating family and keeping family together and connected. Families are for every day, just as they are for special occasion. And so too is the Lord's Supper. And we need to remember this. We need to take this aspect of the Lord's Supper seriously. And it's easy to forget it, perhaps because we treat this time, this Sunday, so reverently, right? We do this in church. And we surround it with silence and reflection and meditative music. We heighten the specialness of this time, and that's good. But we forget the mundaneness of this time as well. You know, most of you probably realize that usually during Sunday school I change clothes before the 11:15 service. You know, I put on jeans and something more relaxed and stuff. But not on Communion Sunday. Usually on Communion Sunday I won't wear everyday clothes. I may take the coat off and keep the tie on or something like. We treat this time differently. And that's all right. That's all right. But we forget that the early church, the Lord's Supper was part of just a regular meal. They would gather together weekly, not on their Sabbath. They would gather together in someone's home, and they would eat supper together. And by the time they got around to celebrating the Eucharist, well, there was already mustard stains on their shirt from the hot dogs they'd just eaten, or the, you know, grease stains from the fried chicken, or whatever the first century equivalent of, you know, regular normal food is. And it's not that they were irreverent, or that they had not yet developed the idea that the Lord's Supper was a sacred special time. What they in fact did not recognize was the separation that we have made between what is sacred and what is secular. The sacred and the mundane were always meant to be together. They didn't even recognize that this was different. A lot of you know that one of the Christian groups I participate in is called the Walk to Emmaus. Many of you have been on the Walk to Emmaus. And one of the cool things about that group is that every time we gather together, we share communion with one another. So we've got Baptists and Episcopals and Methodists and Pentecostals and Catholic all sharing this common meal together. And one time we were gathering, and I was in charge of blessing and serving the communion service for the community. And apparently the person whose job it was to bring the communion elements to the meeting had forgotten, and got there kind of late and realized that, you know, stuff wasn't there. And so she had to scramble. There wasn't a grocery store nearby, not enough time to go to one. So she had no choice but to go down the hill to this service station, this gas station that also sold a little bit of stuff, you know. So I see her come running in right before things start, and she goes up to the altar and she puts everything up there and she covers it with a napkin. So I get up there, you know, in my best pastor voice, and I'm blessing it and reading scripture and saying profound things. And then I turn around and I take the napkin off of the bread, and there's hot dog buns. And so I pick the plate of hot dog buns and the cup up to bless it, and I'm afraid to look into the cup because it's like grape knee-high or something. I don't know what in the world might be in there, right? And so I pray and I bless the elements, and never before in my life have I ever wished as much as in that moment that the Catholic belief in transubstantiation, right, that the bread and the juice actually become the real, literal body of Christ. I had never before wished that was true until that moment. And when I opened up my eyes, it was still hot dog buns. And in Emmaus we serve it by intinction, so everybody would file to the front and tear off a piece of the bread and then dip it in the juice and then ingest it that way. And I'll never forget, I'm standing there with hot dog buns saying to each person, "The body of Christ, the body of Christ broken for you." And one old woman, kind of crusty around the edges and stuff, she she looked down at it, and she looked at me, and I said, the body of Christ. She goes, looks like a dadgum hot dog bun to me. She didn't really say dadgum, but we won't go into that. But you know, there's something very real about that moment, you know. This is regular food. You know, what the early church ate was the bread of their everyday meal and the wine of their everyday meal. The sacred and the mundane, they always came together. Our reluctance to maybe accept this is evident in the simple criticism that we make of people who come to church for maybe less than the most spiritual reasons, you know. Maybe for the social aspect. She doesn't really go to church to pray. She just goes for the socializing. She just talk, you know. And that's always voiced in the negative, when in fact it's a good reason to come to church. You know, to go and to share communion with one another. Even when the communion is not in the form of bread and juice, to share communion, to go to church to socialize is not a bad reason to be here. When I was growing up, we went to church as a family, three boys crammed into the back seat, you know. And the conversation to and from church, as you can imagine, wasn't that sacred. It wasn't that unusual for it to involve somehow dad threatening to one or all of us with some form of corporal punishment if we didn't stop what we were doing or saying, you know. But Sundays was also when we had dinner. The rest of the time we had breakfast, lunch, and supper. But there is one meal in which we had dinner, and that was Sunday after church. Sunday lunch was replaced with Sunday dinner. And it was always the same thing. Mom would put a roast, pour some cream of mushroom soup over it, and stick it in the oven before we went to church, and it would slow roast all morning long. And to this day, one of my best memories is that smell of walking through the door after church. And smelling that roast. Whenever I smell cream of mushroom soup, I'm taken back to that recurring moment in my life. And you know, the food was better in that meal than the rest of the week. And it was, like I said, it was called something different. But in many ways, it was the same. We all would change clothes, and we'd all sit in the same place we'd sit every other time around the table. And the conversation was pretty much the same as for our nightly supper. And if it was in the fall, then we'd hurry up and eat real fast so that we could all gather together around the TV and watch the Redskins play. Back when there were still blackouts, we had those, if you remember those. But the focus of the meal, as well as the after meal and the before meal, was being together, right? It was sharing life together. And I wish that as a child, even as an adult, that I had made the connection that when I went to church and I heard the pastor use the word celebration to describe the Lord's Supper, that there was a connection between what was happening there and what was going to happen a couple of hours later when me and my family would gather around and share dinner with one another. And I wish, too, that people would know this when they stay away from church because of boredom or anger or because they feel like their presence here is only social and is not really their heart's not really in it spiritually. And one of the reasons we do go to church is to pray and to study God's Word and to hear God's Word and to sing and to worship. But we go there too for the same reason that we go to the family table every evening or every midday or however often you do it with your family. Whatever it is, how often it's happened, it's good to be there. It's good to share this meal and to share this conversation, this laugh, this cry, this joke, this story, this time together. It's good to be together. God with us and us with each other together. So together, let us gather around the Lord's table and celebrate His presence and His sacrifice for us together.